stance. The dice roll every random chance. Take off your coat and stay a while. We'll roll in that D percentile.
Just do a little gaming update today. Talk about RPGs, things I'm running, what I'm involved in. Got more ninjas to come. Really pleased with the response to my last ninja season episode. I thought for a while maybe I'd just do just devote the podcast to ninjas. Seems to get the best responses. Actually, I was pleased my intro for that last episode, the ninja episode, where I was kind of enthusiastically talking about what's cooler than a ninja. I don't know, it came out how I thought it would. It's probably the first time in nearly a year. I'm getting on a couple of days, it's going to be my 1 year anniversary of Anchor Podcasting. I thought finally I'd got close to finding a voice. For the first time I recorded something and went, oh, if I say it like this, I think it will come over that way. And I listened back to it. I had to go and play it to everybody. I was like, this came out how I wanted it to. So that's not bad, is it, for a whole year of talking into my phone. And I've got loads of other call-ins to do. Thanks, everybody, for listening and keep calling in. I'm very grateful for that. I'll get to those in a bit. But gaming, yeah, so I did a bit of increased lockdown gaming and then realised that I couldn't really cope with ratcheting up the amount of games. There's a lot of interesting things going on at work, projects I'm trying to get started. It's kind of a crucial time. So I realised that was a mistake. I actually took a couple of weeks off, stepped back from it all. I've still managed to run the Dark Sun game. That's settled into a fortnightly Friday night game. I think it's had three sessions. It's got a little committed group of players. And I'm pleased with how that's going. I like the fact that, I mean, there's a whole wealth of Dark Sun materials out there, which I don't feel any pressure to use. I think the thing is, Dark Sun is a feel. I'm happy that I'm getting that feel with the resource management and things like that and the sort of mercilessness of the setting. I've introduced a bit of a story arc, and I will continue to raid the existing Dark Sun materials for things that I can use and repurpose. So I'm not following any of the modules, but I'm grabbing maps and ideas and twisting the events slightly. So what would happen if the players came through here a couple of weeks after the strongly implied narrative of this module? How would they find things changed? And that gives me an opportunity to just be a bit more creative around it, and also make sure that if the players know any of the materials, what they know, it can still help them, but it won't let them read, you know, and anticipate the motivations of the NPCs as they otherwise could. I know players are pretty good at unknowing things that they know, but that's been quite fun. So Dark Sun is going. I'll carry on honing the rules. Eventually, I'll put them out. So I've called my it's based on Swords and Wizardry Continual Light. I've called it Dying Star. The rules that I put out will have all the serial numbers filed off, and I think that will be quite good fun. But also, don't expect anything beyond the playtest materials anytime soon, because this is my hobby. Mud Harbour, however, I've got a half term coming up in a couple of weeks, and I should be able to get the PDF knocked off and get it sent out. So I promised an August delivery for everything. I was hoping to send out the actual zine first. Most of my backers are physical zine backers, and I wanted to get the zine out to them and then put the PDF out so that people got that thing. You know, the zine was the first thing you held in your hands, but I don't know, it might be a couple of weeks before we can do all the things we'd hoped around printing and so on. But I still think, I mean, things seem to have calmed down a bit now, so I still think we'll get the zine delivery out in plenty of time. I didn't promise a delivery date until August, but I'm thinking that the PDF, since it will be in a decent state quite soon. The PDF will go out first, and the physical copy will follow. I'll still deliver on time. It's not quite how I wanted to do things, but it does give the advantage that I can have a couple of weeks with people sending me comments if they notice anything in the PDF, which I quite like around a Kickstarter, and I can tidy up the PDF before I print the physical copies. It hardly seems necessary with a zine, but it will be one bonus because that's the way that's worked out. And then the Black Hat game, yeah, I'm bringing the Black Hat game. So that's that has run since October, November time. I can't remember exactly when I started it. Once or twice a week. It definitely will have averaged out to well over once a week over the time, which has been pretty nice. That's my first, my second online game. Of course, I did King of Dungeons, but I feel over this time that's been quite a few hours of online gaming, 3 hour sessions, 3 hours plus. I've learned a lot, and you know, having learned a lot, I just thought. So the Black Hat game was just becoming slightly more work to prep than I wanted it to be. I was finding I was having to come up with more interesting ideas. The whole faction stuff actually made it quite a lot of work. So I'm going to take a little break from the Black Hat, a few months, and then do a little sort of minor reset and invite people to come back into that. I'm thinking that when I do reset, rather than it being Melcher's Vale, I will just double down on Mud Harbour. And I'll say it's a Mud Harbour game. And I might then build back out from the Mud Harbour setting. But do it all in a much more low-key way. Just, you know, you get to those points. The players seem amenable to it where you just go, look, I just need a little break from this, a couple of months. Definitely, I've really enjoyed running the Black Hack, and I want to get it back to a very, 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 very sort of low expectation, drop in, drop out kind of game. But that's been really good. Really enjoying that. I've got a session planned of that tonight, which will. It's interesting. I mentioned before that the players in the game are pretty much a great. Although I've got some regulars, I think they're pretty much a different set. I think maybe Jason might be playing tonight. If he does, Jason will be the only player who was in the first session. Although Spencer Freethrall has been pretty much there the whole time, and there's some other players. Yeah, most of the other players that will be around tonight came in a lot later. It's interesting that kind of evolved, but that's, you know, to be expected really. When you say, look, no commitment, drop in, drop out, but it is interesting how the constitution of players has changed. So I'm running Dark Sun every other Friday, and then in the intervening weeks it's been Sunday Black Hack. So I pitched a hack of Electric Bastion Land. One thing I'll say about it, I haven't done any review of that. Talked about it a bit on the Worm, but I will say about Electric Bastion Land that it's just infinitely hackable because the rules fit on two pages. And yeah, the first thing I wanted to do when I got hold of that is just start hacking. So I've pitched a science fiction hack. But I'm perhaps in less of a hurry to start that than I thought I was. I was very excited about it, but with all these things, getting a setting together, I want the setting to have a particular flavour. It's going to take a little bit of work. So I'm not going to rush into that because I've got enough to do. It's a hobby. So I think people are interested in that. I'm just going to sort of keep the interest in that, but take a few weeks to get that going. I found myself talking about Numenera a bit on the show. I used to talk about it a great deal. I learned a lot about how I run games from Numenera. And there's a little bit of interest in a Numenera game. And the good thing about Numenera is I can just, you know, well, it's the ultimate low prep game, really. You just jot some ideas down on a bit of paper, so I can pretty much run that very short notice. So I'm going to slot in maybe on the Sunday nights, maybe in some other parts of those weeks where I'm not running Dark Sun, I'll slot in a couple of Numenera games. So if you're interested in trying out Numenera online, get on the Discord, get in touch. I really enjoy running that game. It takes a little bit. There is a little bit of player learning. It doesn't run like other games. Players actually have quite a lot of crunch at their fingertips. All of the options and nitty-gritty is all sort of pushed over onto the player side, which I really enjoy as a GM. But there's some things in it, you know. Managing effort and managing your resource pools is not like in other games. It takes a little bit of getting used to. So there is a little bit of a learning. But I doubt I'll do a one-shot. I never do one-shots. So I think if I do the Numenera, I'll be interested in it for a little while. So it'll be a little sort of mini arc of Numenera. If people are interested in getting into that. Got on Roll20, got very excited. I was looking for a character sheet because it's not like an OSR game in that you could just jot down your character sheet on a bit of paper and I can trust people to manage that. There's quite a lot of moving parts to the characters. So actually having one of those Roll20 character sheets, which is not normally a massive appeal for me, just seemed, oh yeah, if I've got to teach people the game, having the character sheets with the roles built in would actually be quite good for Numenera. And the character sheet, predictably, the official Monty Cook character sheet on there is pretty good. It's pretty good. I'll tell you why, because it doesn't try to include everything. It covers a lot of the more basic movement, but a lot of the rest of it you have to enter everything yourself. You have to describe your own abilities, and actually that makes it maximally usable. So I'm really impressed with that. They haven't tried to encode all of the different powers and the way they work into the character sheet, which is really good. So I've been quite impressed with that. So I'm excited about using Roll20 for Numenera, I won't use any grids or anything like that. That's not the Numenera way. But even having minis, which I can use, there's the initiative tracker. Initiative is pretty simple in there, but I was thinking that just even if I have icons of the players, I can just drag around to indicate initiative rather than using the tracker. That would be quite useful. And I'm building myself a background at the moment on Roll20 where I've put in some of the key tables. Yes, because the other cool thing is that on Roll20 you can incorporate the decks, and I have purchased the decks in Roll20, which is brilliant. You've got the expanded cipher decks, so I'm really looking forward to being able to just deal out cipher cards to people when they pick up ciphers. So I got excited about that, and then I was trying to build things last night and Roll20 went down for a couple of hours, and I've heard some things about Roll20 that obviously with people doing more gaming, the servers are struggling, so I'm a little bit nervous about that. But I really think doing it online, I don't know, there's a lot of movement of ciphers. So when I'm playing around the table, you do a lot of sort of passing cards across where you just jot down the key aspects of the cipher and you give it to the players, and I'm thinking that would be very fiddly to do over Discord or in any other way, and having the decks is really, really beneficial. So I'm going to hope that Roll20 can manage to support that. So it may be that my wonderful all singing all dancing background with all the tables in just gets ditched, because it may slow things down. I don't really know enough about Roll20 to know whether that will mess things up. But I'm hoping that Roll20 can support it, because that will definitely improve the experience for people. So that's what's coming up, really. I'm quite excited. I didn't know, if you asked me a week ago, I didn't know I was going to be running Numenera for a little while, but I think there's enough interest that I'll do that. As people want to understand the game, I constantly say on the podcast that it actually taught me a lot about how that I run most of my low-prep games. I mean, in a sense, for many of the players that played in my other games, a lot of it won't be surprising, but it is a lovely setting. I thought for a while about doing something else in the cipher system. I've got some good ideas, but with that you've got to do a bit of, even at cipher system, you can just, providing people understand the setting, you can just get on and create characters, but to do that properly requires a little bit of setting work. And the good thing about Numenera, the setting's there, I don't have to work on that. I could just scribble down some ideas and run it, and I think that's what I need at the moment. So that's what's coming up. So there you go, there's my gaming news. Yeah, Ninja Season will continue quite soon. I've got some call-ins coming up as well, but that's all for me today. Bye bye then, keep well.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact Dave, please leave a message on Anchor, email dpercentile@gmail.com, or find him on Twitter @d_percentile.